Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin, with all guests appearing on the BetQL phone line. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis's sports station.
Jason Fitz, of course, is the host of Spain and Fitz. Catch him on ESPN Radio, digital shows. Caught him hosting a college basketball show on Twitter and the ESPN app this weekend. He joins us every Monday, and he joins us now. Fitz, happy Monday, man. How you doing?
I'm good. How y'all doing in Memphis?
Things are good. Snow is melting. We are moving forward, man.
Resuming life.
We are recovering here in Memphis.
Rejoice. Rejoice. You know, I always tell everybody that a couple inches of snow shuts the South down for good reason, though. I'm glad everybody was safe.
Imagine nine. I mean, we got nine inches.
Fitzy, we were having to boil water like Texas and everything.
Man, I had no idea you got that much. Good God, 9 inches of snow in Memphis is like the equivalent of 6 feet in Connecticut.
Yes, it is.
You ain't lying.
We had to pay this guy $40 and a bobcat to come plow our driveway. Obviously, we don't own shovels. I mean, there's no reason to have a shovel if you live in Memphis. So, I mean, that's what we did. I mean, whoever has a bobcat made a killing over this week.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's a bunch of people in Connecticut now that they make a killing going out in trucks, and they just go to a neighborhood, and they all pop out after a huge snowstorm. And it's like six or seven dudes with shovels and all these plows and everything. They're like, yeah, we'll shovel it. But they are charging a premium to do it. So, yeah. You know, good on them for being entrepreneurs.
No doubt about it. Okay, I wanted to get your thoughts, Fitz, on what happened at this 7-on-7 camp over the weekend. I'm sure you've seen the video by now. Cam Newton was, I don't know if it was his camp or he was making an appearance, but basically one of the young men who was participating in the camp decided that he was going to use that moment with Cam to go viral or whatever you want to call it. And basically starts just trash-talking Cam, saying, you're a free agent, you're a bum, you're this, you're that. And Cam went back with him a little bit and said, I'm rich, and it wasn't the best look for Cam either. But the young man, who is a 2022 football prospect, has come out today, and he has apologized on Twitter. And, of course, like, ESPN Sports Nation was talking about this. It has become a big story, and obviously a lot of people are just completely crushing the kid. What do you think about this situation, and what is the right way to sort of discuss this situation, being that it is a kid?
Well, that's the hard part, is that it is a kid. But at the same time, you know, we all got to learn, right? And I'm the first to admit, if social media had existed when I was 18 years old, 17 years old, I probably wouldn't be proud of a lot of the moments that were caught on film and a lot of the moments that were out there. Like, I had my share of moments I look back on life that were cringeworthy. I think a lot of us do. We grew up in a different era, different time, right? So you got to know now that, you know, media training essentially is something that kids grow up with from day one, especially when they reach an accelerated level of greatness in any sport. They're around more conversation. They understand that everything they say and do impacts their draft status. So, you know, you never want to crush a kid for making a mistake, but you also got to hold a kid accountable for trash talking. Like, I think there's a level of sort of disconnect there. And this is one of the things that blows my mind, and we all do it. But the amount of times that somebody looks at an athlete that has accomplished great things and just called them a bum, you know, for wherever they are in that moment in life. And it's like, Cam Newton has accomplished more than most of us could ever dream of, you know. So I think there's got to be a little context when you're coming up in that same world. Like, the NBA world always talks about how game gets game, right? Like, I don't understand why this sort of thing happens when you can look at somebody at Cam's status and say, okay, he's done so much and he's accomplished so much. Whatever his status is right now, he was still in the NFL last year playing meaningful minutes. Like, I don't know why when you're a kid at a camp, you think you've done enough to come at him. So I think there has to be a fine line. And I know Cam obviously would want to have that. I would think Cam would want to have that moment back. But I will tell you this quick Cam story. Not a lot of people know. We did, when I was with the band Perry, we did a Nickelodeon TV show where Nickelodeon basically took a kid that had a dream and wanted to make that dream come true. And they did it. They put that kid with a mentor and helped them have this moment. And Cam was the main person behind the scenes on that show. So there was a kid that they'd found that wanted to, you know, play, do a recording of a country song for the Grand Ole Opry. So we spent a couple of days with Cam when we were filming the show. And I'll never forget being in the car. We were in a van going around Charlotte at the time. And there were a group of kids playing. And one of them was wearing a Cam Newton jersey. They were playing football during recess. And so the car pulls over, Cam hops out, and Cam was just like, he saw the kids and wanted to go play. So he hops out, hops over the fence, Cam Newton playing, you know, flag football with kids during recess at elementary school. It's a dream come true situation. Well, then all the teachers and, you know, adults inside the building started coming out and really just hounding him for autographs and pictures and all that. That's not what he was there for. Like, he was there for the kids. So Cam, you know, politely, I was there. Cam politely was like, hey, let's just get out of here. So we left. That night on the news, even in Charlotte, the story wasn't that Cam pulled over and played football with a bunch of kids. The story was that Cam walked away from fans. And that just shows you one of the things that Cam has dealt with so much. Like, he's also a human being. And at some point, kid or not, like, you're going to have a boiling point when you're at a camp or providing a camp or doing something that you don't have to do to try and get back. And a kid at that opportunity uses it to trash talk. Like, I don't know that I would have handled it better than Cam did either. So I think on both sides of this, we got to look with a little bit of understanding, hope everybody can be better. But we also have to understand the situations that create what happened in that moment.
See, I'm with you. I think a lot of us would have just turned our backs and said, okay, wasted opportunity for the kid, right? Kid wants to show out for whether it's social media or whether it's for the kids around him, right? Wasted opportunity for him when I'm trying to reach out to him. I'll turn my back. So I credit Cam, right, for the patience level that he showed in dealing with sort of that, knowing that that kid in that situation – right? Okay, here's an opportunity for you. You're blowing it because you want to show out. So I credit Cam's sort of patience level because I don't think a lot of us would have had the same level of patience. That's, can he help a team, Fitzy? Take it back to the football field with Cam. Is there a situation where, whether it's on a 1 year, I think Cam's still around 32 years old, but it feels much older with that body, what he's been through. Is there a situation he can help a team?
Yeah, I think there probably is. And look, I was really stunned that he didn't play better down the stretch in New England, and his body is always going to be the question mark. But we've still seen a lot of good from Cam. The problem is it going to be an opportunity? And really what's happened, and I think any other year, 3-4 years ago, Cam would have had a second opportunity to go into the league and make an impression somewhere. I'd say the same about Jameis at the time. 3-4 years ago, even Marcus could have found another opportunity. But what's happened in the last couple of years of the draft is so many teams have addressed the quarterback position in the first round of the draft that now they're pot committed, right? Like, they put too many cards in to go out there and take a flyer on a Cam. So I think, unfortunately, right now, and this is really an under-talked about portion of what's happening in the NFL right now, is we're seeing a lot of young quarterbacks come in influx, which is why there's this massive, as much as we keep talking about the summer of quarterback chaos, quarterbacks are going to move everywhere. Part of that is because there are so many young guys that have come into the game. You know, but can still help? Yeah, and look, I'll go back to Field Yates tweeted this last week, but from 2009 to 2016, not a single quarterback drafted in the first round is still with their team, 0-22. So you think about that and like the obsession that we're all going to have right now with Justin Fields and Zach Wilson. And, like, I know Trevor Lawrence looks like he's going to be great, but, you know, realistically, everybody goes all in on these quarterbacks in the first round of the draft, which pushes guys – like Cam out, and it makes it harder for them to find opportunity without at least acknowledging that, by the way, that's not working. First-round draft picks are not working right now at the NFL level at the quarterback position, which has got to be figured out.
I want to stay with a guy you just mentioned, Jameis Winston. Tannenbaum, heard him on Get Up this morning, a colleague over at ESPN saying, look, Breeze probably going to retire this week. They hand the thing over to Winston. After watching for a year, right, and being under Sean Payton, Can he take a guy that went 30 for 30, literally 30 touchdowns, 30 interceptions the last full season he played, and sort of correct those mistakes, get Jameis to reel it back in, and if he can, where does that get the Saints next season if Jameis Winston's the guy under center for them?
Yeah, absolutely he can. By the way, let's acknowledge how many picks Tom Brady threw in Bruce Arians' system, right? Mm. Like we're forgiving that, you know, oh, well, that's okay because Brady was figuring it out. No. I mean, Arians runs a very aggressive offense meant to push the ball down the field, and you put up a lot of 50-50 balls. They get picked. I mean, so you want to talk about a total transformation for Jameis. We're going to have to see if Jameis can make decisions a heck of a lot faster because that's going to be the key in this New Orleans offense. Can he do that? Yeah, I think he can, absolutely. And you know, Sean Payton having all this time to work with him, I think, is also a key in what they're going to be able to do with him. I think that Winston can come in. I'm not saying he's going to come in and be a world beater, but I think Winston can come in and really play well. And if he does, then this is still a New Orleans team that makes the playoffs. I mean, Jameis Winston is going to be a playoff quarterback if he's the starting quarterback for the New Orleans Saints. And that's something that I don't think a lot of people are going to be eating crow on Jameis because of all the things that have sort of given us a predisposition to, you know, there are a lot of people I think that had a predisposition to not like Jameis coming out of college for a lot of obvious reasons. And they never let that go. And at some point, they never let go the fact that he was the first pick in the draft and all of these things. And guess what? At this point, that doesn't matter. The question is, can he play right now with Sean Payton and his coach in that offense, throwing to that, you know, that one receiver we all know, Michael Thomas? Yeah, I think he absolutely is a playoff quarterback.
We are, of course, talking to Jason Fitz. He joins us every single Monday here on the show. Deion Sanders made his debut yesterday as a coach, as a college coach there with Jackson State, and they killed whoever they played. I don't even know.
NAIA school.
Yeah, some high school, basically. But after the game, Deion Sanders had a little bit of a snafu. He said after the game that he had some personal belongings that were stolen out of his office. They retrieved them, but that was sort of his story. Is this just going to be the experience with Prime? Like, is it going to be, you know, as wacky and chaotic as the first game seemed to suggest?
Probably. And also, by the way, we talk about learning. Like, seems like learning moments maybe the overarching thing today. Like, that's a learning moment for him, too. Why the heck would you tell anybody that that stuff was stolen from your office? Because now what you've done is you've painted the entire program in a really negative light. Instead of the conversation being, hey, you know, Deion went out and won this game, and, hey, we're going to do fun, big, explosive things that everybody's going to watch us. Now it's, man, Deion can't even trust his belongings to be in his locker while he's out on the field. Like, what sort of environment do they have there? Like, he created the wrong conversation, and he as a coach has to know that every time he speaks, he's not speaking for himself. He's speaking for that brand and that program, and that's not the right message that they wanted everybody talking about it today for. So I think it's a huge misstep by Deion.
What do you think about the Jalen Johnson story, Fitz? We didn't get a chance to ask you about that last week. Did you run with that side of, you know, we saw a few say, okay, well, Jalen Johnson's quit on his team. That's what we're going to label him. And he'll have to answer all these questions for the NBA. Could hurt him. It certainly didn't hurt James Wiseman the year before. Where'd you sort of come down on Jalen Johnson and his time with Duke?
I'll be honest, and I've said this to some of my colleagues. I've heard some of the stupidest opinions on Jalen Johnson that I've ever heard in my life in the last week. And look, is he going to answer questions? Yes. Every NBA team is going to ask him why he's doing what he did, how he came to make that decision. Duke is not good, and that has to factor into part of how he made his decision. He obviously also had a rub with Coach K, and I know that he had some issues even before he got to Duke with commitment and staying with teams. Right. I understand all of those things. But when you have the opportunity, and on the digital show that I hosted Saturday, we talked to LaFonso Ellis, and LaFonso talked about playing when he was a little hurt, and that little hurt turned into big hurt, and it cost him $40 million in guarantees. Mm. The difference for Jalen Johnson, if he's drafted four picks lower, would be about $4.5 million. Now, I would love for everybody, my wife and I love to play what we call the shoes on the other foot game. So before you say anything, put yourself in that other person's situation.
Yep.
Sit back and say, okay, how would I feel? If I told you that going to work today could cost you $4.5 million, would you go? The answer for all of us is no. Like, I love working with Sarah Spain all day. And if I got a call today, 10 minutes before the show, that said, hey, man, you go on the show, it could cost you $4 million, I'm sending her a text right before, and I'm saying, I'm sorry, I'm out. Like, at some point, we got to look at this young man and say, hey, he has an opportunity most of us would never have. He has an opportunity to go out and play in the NBA, and that's a real opportunity. He is a talented player. He's going to be able to go out and make a mark. And when he makes that mark, he's going to make generational wealth. And if he wants to protect his generational wealth, that is his personal decision. The whole reason you go to college is to be able to be a professional.
That's it.
And when you've got that opportunity, man, why the hell would you not? So, and for anyone that says he quit on Duke, I only ask this one question that I have yet to hear a good answer to. Last year, before the NCAA tournament was officially canceled, Duke pulled out of that tournament and said, we will not participate in it. Did Duke quit on their kids? Because I don't think they did. They were looking out for health and safety. So how is it that Duke can look out for the health and safety of their kids, but their kids can't look out for their own health and safety when it comes to rehabbing for an injury and making sure they can play? It is absolutely stupid how many of my peers that I respect a lot have come out and created this conversation about Jalen Johnson like he's a quitter, which is absolutely not at all true. And it's forgetting the context of the entire situation to me.
Couldn't have said it better.
Fitz, how about Michigan? For the majority of this college basketball season, we have, and I think probably fairly so, we have mostly just said it's Gonzaga, it's Baylor, and it's everybody else. After their win yesterday, don't we have to start putting Michigan in that conversation? Because they've got everything you need. They've got all the ingredients of college basketball teams that make deep runs. They're disciplined. They got size. They have great guard play. They got the Livers kid who can basically do it all. They can get hot from deep. Why can't Michigan and Juwan Howard and the way that team is playing make a deep run in this tournament?
No, Michigan can. I mean, I think you're absolutely right. They're a national championship contending team. And I got to give Juwan a lot of credit, you know, and again, we echoed this on Countdown to Game Day Saturday. You know, we just take for granted, it doesn't always work. I mean, are we looking at Jerry Stackhouse at Vandy, for example, thinking, oh, wow, yeah, there's a former player coming in and crushing it? No. And, you know, how often do we see Harbaugh be a conversation at Michigan, former player from that program comes back, look at these expectations.
Here at Memphis, Howard, right? Coming here in, at Memphis, the jury's still kind of out on Penny, you know?
And I use that as an example. On Saturday, Monica McNutt, one of my favorite of our analysts, said, hey, be patient. Penny just needs time. We'll see. But the fact is, we're not having that conversation around Juwan Howard. Like, Juwan Howard has put together a roster that is capable of doing whatever it takes. And that game against Ohio State was a big win for Michigan. I mean, absolutely. They've got the guard play. They've got the shooting ability. You mentioned the discipline, which is really good. And, you know, as cheesy as it sounds, that moment that everybody was playing last week where – one of his guys was knocked down and Juwan just runs out on the court, helps him back up. Like, there seems to be a bond and a camaraderie with this particular locker room and team that's special. And that's what's going to get you through this tournament, because the level of mental sort of focus it's going to take when everybody's going to be quarantined in Indianapolis, it's not just going to be the teams that have been together a long time like Gonzaga that's going to help them. It's going to be the teams that genuinely like each other and can handle being together in one hotel for five straight weeks with no opportunity to go anywhere. Those are the teams that are going to be able to thrive, and that's Michigan to me. So kudos to Juwan. I don't think he's getting enough love for what he's doing there.
Agreed.
Fitzy, last thing, I got to ask you this because you know the music industry so well. This thing with Britney, I don't know if you've seen the doc, but the conservatorship that she's in and with her father sort of over it, the Britney conversation, is it something you've put your toe into? Is it something you've dove into? What do you think about sort of Britney being in this conservatorship? Does she need it?
It's a very strange situation. And for anybody that doesn't know, like a lot of younger actors in the 80s and 90s and singers, they lost everything. Their parents took everything. We grew up with one of the guys in NSYNC. Used to be around them a lot when they were touring, had the opportunity a few times there to be around Britney in that process too, and she was dating Justin. And, you know, the interesting thing about all of it is that none of them had a shot at normalcy. So the thing, you know, like we talk about with athletes all the time, what do you do when you're 12 or 13 years old, you're cast onto the show, suddenly you are not only famous, but you're making money that you never thought you could make, and your parents may or may not be time to take advantage of that in the process.
Talked
like, you can't figure out who to trust, how to trust them. Like, Miley Cyrus, Taylor Swift, Britney Spears, none of these people have a real shot at feeling any sense of normal. And because they're rich, we all sort of roll our eyes and say, well, that's a world I'd love to deal with. But the fact is, it's really complicated. And I think what needs to happen at some point, they've changed laws now so that, you know, parents can't just take money from their kids when they're child actors and child singers. But I think they need to change the entire conservatorship process to involve third parties that aren't actually related to anybody that can step back and be smart and be balanced on all of it and really look out for the best interest of the kid, because ultimately it is the kid that's making that money, that's making that fame, and that's going to have to deal with the issues later.
That's right. Fitz, you are
love
the absolute
insight,
best, man. Thanks
have
for the time,
week,
as
Fitzy.
Always.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate you guys. Have a great week.
Yep. He is Jason Fitz. He joins us every single Monday here on the show. Jason, as you know, I would also like to put the Fighting Illini in that conversation in terms of teams that can make a deep run, because they've got a pro lead guard in Dasunmu. They've got my man Kofi Coburn in the middle there. Every time he touches it in there, it's a buck. So I'm going to – I mean, the Big Ten could have – two Final Four teams. That would not shock me in the slightest.
I think wasn't Ohio State already on the one line with Michigan before that loss to them?
Yep.
And I mean, that, in losing to Michigan in that game, I thought they still looked like a one. I mean,
they do.
As good as they played. But I'm with you, absolutely. To go back to your Illinois team is fantastic. I think Ohio State could still be a one.
Ohio State.
Them and Michigan both.
Ohio State, from what I noticed, there was really one mistake made that game last night, and it was that behind-the-back pass when nobody was looking, and that's about it. That was the margin of error.
Well-played basketball.
It was.
Beautiful basketball.
It was high level. The one thing that worries me a little bit about Ohio State is that they don't have an inside presence, and I don't know how good their guard play is. Like, their point guard play, like, I just worry. They have some great scorers. But I just don't know if they have that lead guard, you know, that can take them into the, you know, deep run.
Michigan runs sets.
Oh, Michigan's unbelievable. Yeah, Michigan has everything you could ever. They have awesome players. That helps a lot.
Great
know?
Players, great sets,
yeah.
A bench of coaches. It's quite an arsenal.
Yeah, and they also use their cell phones during the game, you know, so that helps.
Smart.
So that, you know, you can get your intel from there.
That was wild.
Put your DoorDash order in, whatever. but anyway, thanks to Jason Fitz for joining us
on
the show today. All right, we'll be back. Lots more to come. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.